Episode 2.
Reading this, and there's no clear answer to how the bonuses work. So I was wondering, essentially, if, like, the bonuses were structured where, like, the teachers at schools that had, like, lower test scores and, like, they didn't want to teach there, theoretically, got paid more. But then if the test scores went up, then, like, would their bonuses drop or something? Because now it's, like, I don't even know.
Yeah, it's, like, I think one of the problems was also just there wasn't a lot of transparency on how they were giving out these bonuses.
Yeah. And they were also just really unwilling, I felt like, because I was watching the negotiations, and it took a lot. The district officials were being really just set in their ways. Like, they weren't willing to really compromise give any money.
Rhetoric, I would, you know, granted, I didn't really give any, you know, credence to these emails, but I would read the updates from Susana Cordova, and they were all, like, worded almost, like, just sort of passive-aggressively towards the teachers, like, they'd be like, we've been working so hard to, like, negotiate, I'm just paraphrasing, but it was pretty much that, like, these were in the DPS weekly emails that she sends out.
I didn't even know that.
Anyway,
no, it was a whole, yeah, and they could, because also, like, no, what
were
you saying?
They were blaming the teachers.
They really were.
Like, come on.
And I think that was another thing, too, is that it ended when it did, because I think, I mean, did the teachers ever get what they wanted, or did they actually come to an agreement where it was a little less than they wanted?
You know, I'm not entirely sure.
Me either. Because I'm pretty sure, though, that it was, like, the reason it ended was just also because there was so much pressure on everyone to just come to an agreement regardless. Like, obviously get more money, but, like, the sooner it ended, the better, just because so many kids were out of school.
Yeah. We missed 4 days just from the strike, and then we went to Berkeley, so we ended up missing 5 or 6 days or something like that.
Yeah.
But,
no, and it was crazy, because I mean, I was at school.
Completely interrupted. I think it was, I would just be reading all of these, like, updates about just, like, stupid stuff that DPS was doing. Like, they spent $150,000, making these, like, worksheets. And they're this, like, just absolute, they were hilariously, like, stupid. Like, they were made for, like, 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
They were handing out, like, at East, they handed out, like, these ice cream cones where you could, like, draw, and you would draw on it, and you could, like, write about your future on an ice cream cone or something. And they're handing these out to, like 11th and 12th graders.
With the DPS money?
That's not helpful.
Yeah, no.
Like, why would they? That could pay for, like, raises for 150 teachers or 15 teachers or whatever. And they're making,
crazy.
They're just mass printing these stupid worksheets instead of, you know. I just think it was hypocritical. Like, it was clearly, it's very clear that, you know, spending more money wasn't really the issue.
Yeah, no.
That.
No, and they had so much, because it was, like, the administrators had, I think, like, 5-figure bonuses, which is...
Yeah, they didn't want to give
it's
those
like,
up.
And,
like,
yeah.
Miss, like, the superintendent got a bonus before she, like, she got a bonus, I think, like, immediately when she got in, like, whenever she took over for Boasberg, and she didn't do anything. She's just, like, she hadn't done any work yet. She got a bonus, which I think was just whack.
That is
or
really
she
whack.
Got, like,
that's really dumb.
Maybe she... I might be wrong that she got a bonus. I might just be, like, making that up. But, like, it's just, like... I just think it was embarrassing for, like...
No, that is.
Central DPS office.
Yeah.
And I think
it was
a big win for the teachers. That was pretty cool.
It definitely was. And I think it added a lot of... I think there was definitely a lot of mistrust within the, like, that stemmed from it for the administration. Like, a lot of people just viewed it, because I had never really known there was any issues with, like, the administration or anything. Not the administration, but, no, like, the higher-ups, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really, like, kind of eye-opening as to what was going on, I think, for a lot of people, because so many people just hadn't realized what was going on.
Yeah.
And the strike made national headlines, too. Like, Bernie Sanders
yeah.
tweeted about it.
And, it was just one... I mean, there was like, a wave of teacher strikes across the
mm-hmm.
country.
Like, yeah, California happened.
California had one in Los Angeles. That was it's pretty cool to see that teachers are striking about different things. Like, the one in Los Angeles was, I think it was about, like, there's a big discrepancy in funding for charter schools and non-charter schools or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they struck. Like, they weren't even specifically on strike because of, like, their wages. So I think it's kind of cool to see that all these teachers' unions, because, I think you'd agree with this, like, if you think mm-hmm. about it, if any like person or group of people is able to speak about issues in public schools, it would probably
mm-hmm.
be the teachers. I think they're
yeah.
the most qualified to speak on those issues.
100%. Yeah.
They have, you know, day-to-day experience actually doing the job, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty cool to see that they're like stepping up and influencing change at the government
level.
No,
it was really cool.
It happened in Oklahoma. I don't know what they were on strike about, but, you know, a strike in Oklahoma is kind of like the last state you'd expect there to be one. But I think there was one. Maybe there was one in West Virginia, too. But it was
I feel
it was
like there
cool
was. There was
just happening.
Yeah. No, it was really neat. And I think, too, it was just, yeah, Evan, it was really eye-opening, really good for the teachers. And looking, going forward, I think, now it's just promoting a lot more, I don't know, like, not transparent, but, like, you know, people looking into it. People are now, I feel like, consciously aware of issues within the school district, because I didn't necessarily consider, like, my school district as, like how one pays attention to politics and stuff, but doesn't
yeah.
pay attention to what's happening within the school district. And I think that was just kind of really, yeah, it's good in that sense, that it's really, like, a matter of it's encouraging people to listen to the school districts and pay attention to it more going forward.
Yeah, so I'm looking up the results. West Virginia had a strike that went, that was last year. They
mm-hmm.
had a strike that went for like 14, 15 days, and they got a 5% raise.
Mm-hmm.
For the Los Angeles, it was just the Los Angeles school district. 30,000
mm-hmm.
public school teachers went on strike.
Whoa.
More than 30,000. There's
a lot
of kids in that school district.
Yeah.
Protesting low wages. Sorry, these large class sizes, not enough nurses, I guess, and all these like the proliferation of charter schools. They went on strike. They got a 6% raise. They reduced their class sizes by 4 students over 3 years. They got a nurse guaranteed in every school, guaranteed librarian for all middle and high schools, and 30 community schools, but I don't know.
That's good. Yeah, I think a big thing with California was the class sizes, because they had, like, I think up to 40 kids in a class, and teachers were so spread so thin.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's there's so many kids, I mean.
Yeah. So, no, I think, yeah, ultimately, at the end of the day, the strike was a really good thing. And it was really neat, I think, at the end of the day, too, to see just the whole
yeah.
community standing up
yeah.
and being together. It was something that I'd never seen before. And it really was kind of, it was cool, because every school was setting aside their differences, and it wasn't like, you know, like school rivalries or anything. It was really just people were getting out there and standing up for the teachers
yeah.
in a way that was, yeah, it was just really great.
It was, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it was really cool to see, you know?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we want to discuss anything else? We can cut this out, too.
I'm just looking at these teacher strikes. Yeah, the teachers in Oklahoma, they did well, too. They struck for 10 days. But, I mean, it was pretty surprising how quickly DPS caved in. I think.
It was.
Considering that a lot of these other strikes lasted for 2 weeks, you know,
yeah.
10 days.
Yeah.
You know, Los Angeles took them 8 days, but...
Yeah, and that's Los Angeles, too. Like, that's throwing a whole city into chaos.
Yeah. And that was 30,000 teachers walking out. So, I thought it was pretty cool to see. I mean, I think it was just validating, you know.
It really was.
That these concerns are true and real. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely
more
to be done.
And it was really, I feel like, a reflection of just, like, a national shift in, like, mindsets for, like, there is really a movement happening right now, I think. And I think it also comes within just, like, kind of the new wave of Congress that we just elected, because a lot of new congressmen and women that have been elected have been talking more about, you know, we've been hearing more conversations about, like, education for all. And I think that people are now tuning in more to allocating resources to schools and really just putting an emphasis on education on all levels. And so I think it really is a reflection of kind of like a societal shift or like a societal movement that's occurring across the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tanner, I think we should, you know, there's a lot of political things we can discuss, you know, in Colorado. There's a lot of, you know, I think the raising teacher pay was just one part of the solution to the problems that DPS has. There's still a lot of schools have, you know, are underfunded in some way. And I mean, like, if they don't have enough money, they inevitably have to make cuts somewhere. Whether that can be athletic programs, that can be after school activities that, you know, keep kids off the streets or whatever.
Arts programs, too.
Arts programs, you know, speech and debate programs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, those types of programs that aren't, you know, they don't get, like, tested on. Like, they're not STEM stuff. They're not going to get the school, like, a grant or a bonus or more federal funding. They're going to be the first to go, but they're also the ones that are the most valuable.
Yeah.
Like,
no, and I think, because it really is. Because at that point, when you take away those external things, it's really just you're stripping all the, like, individuality, I feel like, because it's in those almost what are considered, like, extra classes is really where kids can pick and choose what they like to do and what they want to do.
Exactly. I mean, like, we're pretty fortunate to go to George Washington.
100%.
Where we still have, I mean, yeah. We can talk about that next episode, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at this.
But we do have a good amount of arts, you know.
No, we do.
Arts and the support that the administration gives for things like speech and debate or, you know, robotics or the arts
and it has
or
been,
any athletic
I feel like
program.
It has been an issue for some time, too, because since, like, middle school, I feel like I've been conscious of the fact that arts programs and, like, gym programs and all these, like, electives programs, essentially, are in jeopardy. And even though nothing necessarily happens to it, it's been going on for a long time. Like, it's been, I feel like since sixth grade, seventh grade, was when I first really was, like, became aware that these programs are, like, in danger of being kind of removed. So it is definitely something that's been happening for a long time. Like, it wasn't just a quick... even though the teacher strike, came up really quick, kind of, it felt like. I first heard about it in January, I think, more or less, and then we rolled into February and it happened. Over the month is when it really, there was discussion on it. And so it felt very quick, but it was something that was going on for a really long time, like years at this point, just kind of bubbling to the surface in little micro instances. Yeah. And it still, yeah, it definitely didn't solve everything.
Yeah. I think a new wave of people kind of sticking up for what they believe in and being more active and being engaged more.
100%.
And I think all these strikes, even, you know, in the big cities or in, you know, West Virginia or all across Oklahoma, I think it's pretty cool to see that people kind of know. People know what's up.
Yeah.
But we're not. No, yeah. You know, and I don't think Americans are, like, not aware of what's going on. I think we're realizing that we need change. And that can come at the local level, you know, where we just organize and we just work hard to solve the issues that we can see in front of us.
Mm-hmm. No, and also the local level is a lot of time where it is more prominent. Like, we focus on national politics a lot of the time, but the local politics that affect our lives more.
Exactly. I mean,
immediately.
And also, you can make so much more of an impact. I mean, there's nothing we can do about what, you know, the Iran situation or some sort of foreign policy, decision. But we can totally affect and improve the lives of people in our neighborhoods and in our cities.
Yeah, in our communities, yeah. No, and I think, too, it also is kind of a reflection of our generation. Like, I do have a lot of faith in our generation. I mean, I know there's some, like, randos out there. But I think a lot of times, you know, young people are seen as, like, oh, we're on our phones and we're, like, tapped in. I mean, that's, like a cliche. But I feel like a lot of people think that. And I think that this is definitely a reflection, too. And especially, like, what happened at East. These kids threw a dance party. Like, just some teenagers just, like, dancing in a hallway, but it was really as a way to support the teachers. And so I think that it is really a reflection of the fact that our generation, while we may be, you know, having our heads in our phones and whatnot, we're tapped in. We are understanding what's going on more so than I think any other generation has at our age.
We're tuning in to what's happening all across the country.
And I think, I think it's definitely, that's one of the great things about, that this strike showed, was really just how we are tapped into everything and how we are, our generation really is, I don't know, I have faith in our generation going forward. I mean, not, like, everyone, but, like, as a general, I have faith, you know?
I have faith in the general direction I think we're going.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
As a group.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. No?
Wow. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, well, I think that...
Yeah, I think we have a lot more to discuss next time on...
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
We need to come up with a name. Thank you for listening.
We can add it in. We can redo the intro, too.
We'll figure that out.
Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.